Hey, what's up, Flatirons Online? So glad that you guys are joining us. My name's Josh. I'm the campus pastor here at our Aurora campus. Man, we just love our online community. And one of the reasons why is because you can watch us from anywhere. Maybe you're here in Colorado, in the United States, or maybe even across the ocean. Man, we're just so glad that you're here. Would you leave us a comment down below? Let us know where you're watching from. And hey, if you are local, I'm standing in our lobby at our Aurora campus. We have 5 locations across the Denver metro area in Lafayette, Longmont, Denver, Aurora, and West. We would love to see you at one of our physical locations. So come check us out. We would love to see you in person. And hey, would you do this for us? Would you share this video? Man, if you love what's happening here, if you're impacted in any way by today's service, would you share and like this video? And if you haven't already, would you subscribe to our YouTube page? We would love to stay connected with you as God continues to do amazing things here at Flatirons. Hey, we love you. So glad that you're here. Enjoy today's service.
Hey, I wasn't here last week. I was in Honduras, not on vacation. I've been to Honduras or something, but this wasn't it. It was 102 degrees there, much better than this. But anyway, so I was down there with one child, and I went to all these sites, and every one of them said, hey, Pastor Jim, thank you so much, because at Christmas, our offering was the largest donation they'd ever gotten. We're taking care of a whole year over in the Philippines of rescuing kids out of sex trafficking. You took care of all that. There are 960 kids in Honduras that you all individually support, make sure they go to school, make sure they have food, make sure they have clothing. And we're gonna come back and we're gonna do that again later this fall. Yeah, let's go, come on, let's go. The highlight of the trip, though, is I met Rob and I. We sponsor 5 kids down there, and they all came and we got to meet them. They're so cute. 2 little girls and 3 little boys. And there's these 2 little boys. One's name's David and one's name's Freddie. They're just, you can just tell they're gangsters. They just run the playground anyway, But anyway, I was talking to him, and I'm like, so what do you want to do? And Freddie wants to be an engineer. I don't know what that means for him. And then David, he wants to like be in military. And I said, well, are you tough? Are you tough enough to be in the military? He goes, I can do 10 push-ups. I went, let's go. And so we had a push-up competition. They're both 8 years old. I destroyed them. I just want you to know that. Domination. I'm like, there, take that, little kid. Anyway, so... Anyway, hey, we're gonna get back into our series. Hey, one more thing before, because all of our campuses are now joined together. I wanna take a time out, because I'm at our Longmont campus. I'll probably get emotional about this. I'm gonna get emotional all day long, but that's just what I do. Anyway, but up at our Longmont campus, one of my best friends is the campus pastor up there for the last several years, Dan Foote. And Dan has touched so many of our lives. He came here as our men's pastor in the last several years. He's run that Longmont campus. He is absolutely just been a blessing in my life. This is his last weekend. He's retiring. But I also want to announce this is that Ben Chavez, our college pastor, who spoke last week, he is now leading the Longmont campus today. So will you honor Dan and welcome Ben into that role? Because they're listening right now. Woo! So good. Anyway, he's going to be so mad at me for saying that. But anyway, hey, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be all over the Bible. But today we're going to continue to literally unpack what we need if we wanna just not survive living in this world that's really alien to Jesus or even hostile to the followers of Jesus. When we say, I'm his disciple. And when you say, I'm a disciple of Jesus, this is what it means. When a person becomes a Christian, what you say is, I'm saved, but I'm entering into a life, a process, and the technical word would be, I'm apprenticing myself to Jesus with the goal, the vision that I want to become the kind of person Jesus is, all right? I don't want to walk on water and, you know, multiply fish and bread, all that stuff, right? But I want to be the same kind of person, which is a great vision for a person's life, to live with the intention of doing the same kinds of things that Jesus would do if he was in your shoes, treating people the same way that Jesus would treat them, saying and responding to people around you, both your friends and your enemies, in the same way that Jesus would do that, same kind of way, right? Jesus would call living that kind of life. He said, that's the abundant life. That's a full, overflowing, eternal kind of life. But here's what we all know, everything we're talking about in this series, none of it happens by magic or by accident. I don't know how I did it. I'm like Jesus. It just doesn't happen on accident. We must have an intentional, this is where we started 3 weeks ago, an intentional strategy. We have to have a plan that we are pursuing and putting into practice. And when you do anything in your life, intentionally put it into practice, that's called discipline, right? Each and every day until it becomes the natural, like, muscle memory of our life. And that's where we're gonna end today. It's gonna be very, very practical, right? So we're basing this series off of one of my favorite reality shows called Alone, all right? We're asking this question, what are like the must-haves that we must have when we're dropped off on an island or in the wilderness of life and all that it throws at us? What must we have in our survival pack if we have any chance of, and the Bible phrase would be this, enduring to the end, not losing hope, not giving up, tapping out and going, this is too much, I can't follow Jesus anymore. Well, here's what we've covered over the last 3 weeks. First of all, if you land out there in the wilderness, you gotta have a fire, you gotta stay warm, which we do. The fire is called the Holy Spirit. And he is the spiritual presence of Jesus who is in you. When you become a Christian, he moves in. He fills the purpose of a person the moment that they put their faith in Jesus. And the Spirit, this is what Jesse taught us a few weeks ago, the Spirit will guide you and empower you and convict you and remind you of everything that's true according to God's word. Which brings us to the second thing. You gotta have a place to live. You have to have a dwelling, a shelter, right? The biblical word is you gotta abide somewhere, which is God's word itself, all right? Jesus said this. I wanna show you a verse. I'm gonna look at the whole verse as opposed to what most people do is they just look at the second half of the verse, take it out of context and make it say what it wants to say, all right? But look at this. This is Jesus talking. He said, Jesus said to the Jews who believe him, so it's conditional, if you abide, live in, dwell in my word, you are truly my disciples. And here's the quoted part. And then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, okay? So Jesus said that the key to living a life, he said, of freedom isn't by living by any truth out there or that's my truth or that's her truth or whatever you've decided is true. It's really irrelevant, all right? But by the truth that's found in one place, the word of Jesus. Take shelter in the word of Jesus. And that doesn't mean you just read your Bible a lot or memorize some verses, right? I mean, it might include that, but live connected to it, sheltered in it, submitting yourself to it and obeying what Jesus says is true. And Jesus promises that is the path that leads to experience a freedom kind of life, like a shelter in the storm. Which brings us to today, right? So there's a metaphor for our fire, tent, whatever that is. Today, the kind of the metaphor is a radio. And the radio is used to communicate, right? On the show alone, every contestant is provided a radio so they can communicate with base camp. Like, hey, I need help, I'm hurt, there's a bear, call my mom, whatever that, come pick me up, I'm done, whatever that is. And also so that the base camp can say, hey, there's a hurricane on the way. You might wanna take cover, something like that, all right? So for us, the radio, and this is what we're gonna talk about today, like the must have, it's gonna symbolize prayer. Prayer, communicating and interacting with God, both speaking to, which we're good at that, but hearing from God, which we're not very good at, right? And I'll be honest with you, all right? I've only met, and I'm old, right? But in all my years of being a Christian, I've only met a handful of people over the years who say, I'm really happy with my prayer life. I haven't met very many people. Most Christians that I know identify prayer as the big area of life that's their biggest struggle. And they'll come up with every once in a while, like, thank you for this food and blessed to the nourishment of our body, which I don't even understand what that means. Or, and when life gets really, really hard or frustrating, you go, hey, God, I just need your help. I need you to fix this or change that for me. But few would describe their prayer life. Few of us, I wouldn't, describe our prayer life in the words that one of my favorite like Bible teachers, Dallas Willard, this is how he describes prayer. Just look at this. He says, prayer is an ongoing, intimate, and conversational relationship with God. Isn't that awesome? Anybody want one of those? An ongoing, intimate, like we're close, and it's conversational. It's not just memorized, you know, chants. It's a relationship with God. So today, I wanna take a different look at prayer, and then I'm gonna throw out a really practical strategy for you to try this week to see if it helps you take a step closer to that intimate, relational conversation with God. And again, today's gonna be really super, super, super practical. So last night they weren't very good. They're very stubborn people on Saturday nights here at church, all right? You're gonna need one of those cards that they tried to hand you at the door and you went, I'm good, all right? So if you love Jesus, go get one, all right? Or go get one for that lady or whatever that is, and I'll wait, okay? So thank you. There's some people who love Jesus. Anyways, or you can get your phone out and take notes on it. You're gonna wanna remember this, okay? Because you're gonna use it all week long. But as you're doing that, I got a question. Why pray? What's the purpose? What is the purpose of prayer? And some people are going, I don't really know. Like some of you, here's some of us, this is where we've landed. It's our imaginary way of like mentally like working out our stuff. Like if you saw the Tom Hanks movie, Castaway, for some of us, prayer is like talking to Wilson, the volleyball. Wilson, that guy, you remember? Like he's my imaginary friend. He can't do anything, but he makes me feel better. And maybe he's there, maybe not, but I don't feel as lonely thinking there's somebody out there. There's a chance, right? Prayer has to be more than that. Some people, here's where a lot of us are going, I used to pray, I don't pray anymore. How come? I just don't think it makes a difference. Because if there is a God, he's gonna do what he wants to do. So what difference does it make if I pray? Which I'll be honest with you, that is actually true on some level. But the application is wrong because just think about it. I got some tough questions here, right? Why would you want God to do anything different than what he wants to do? Why would you want him to change his mind? All right, here's a follow-up question. I should have probably led with this. And you can answer this out loud if you want to, right? Is God the smartest, wisest, most intelligent, most loving entity in the universe? Okay, but if you sat there going, I don't know, then don't pray to him. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you think is best for you. But if you answered yes, then why would you want to try to give God advice around what he ought to do in this situation? Like God's in heaven going, oh, Jim, I didn't even think of that. Way to go. That's much better than what I was going to do. I didn't know you wanted me to do that, but now I'm on it, Jim. Thanks for helping me out, right? So it's ridiculous when you say it out loud. If you read the book of Job, if you want to get really depressed, read the book of Job, okay? Job is in a really, really painful situation in his life, and in a real moment of pain, he kind of looks up at heaven and goes, what's happening? Why is all this going on in my life? And you know what God's response is? And I thought it was mean at first. He looks back at Job and goes, hey, time out. Where were you when I built the universe? Right? Where were you when I put the horizon in place? Where were you when I formed the ocean and said, you can only go this far? Job, tell me if you know the answer to that. And I thought that's kind of mean. The guy's in pain. But he wasn't chastising Job for asking, I don't understand what's going on. He was actually assuring Job, remember who you're talking to? I build universes. I build planets. I put stars and I've got this. I'm God, right? So I'm gonna throw this out and just want you to think about it. And again, it sounds really, really obvious when you say it out loud, but do you think it's possible that God possesses and knows information that you don't currently have today? Well, right? And if the Bible is true, that and this is what we read a couple weeks ago, right? God has a plan of making all things work together for the good of those who love him. Is it possible, just think about it, that God is working out a plan that you currently know nothing about, but ultimately is for something good that's yet to come? You just can't see it from this chair today, where you currently are. And if God were to say yes to your prayer and do what you want him to do instead of what he was going to do, that the later good that you have asked for won't be nearly as good as what God had in store for you or the person you're praying for. He might have something better than what you're asking. Is it possible? So you're saying there's a chance. Dumb and Dumber, greatest movie ever. All right, so one of my favorite quotes around prayer comes from a Danish Christian philosopher, which I read a lot of that. Soren Kierkegaard, but look at this. He says this, and I don't know if I like this at first, but it's growing on me. Prayer doesn't change God. Prayer changes us. So, and here's what this means to me, all right? What if the primary purpose of prayer is not to get God to do what I want him to do, but to align our thoughts and our wants with the creator of the universe who has promised that he is good, that he loves me, and he wants good for us? I just want to line up my thoughts with his. Now, here's where we're going to land today. There's nothing wrong with asking God what you want, what you think needs to happen in your life. But you have to remember, go back to Job, who you're talking to. And second, when you approach prayer from that angle, you have to realize that we have a very limited perspective from the chair we're sitting in right now. And you might be actually asking God for the wrong thing, even though from your perspective, my perspective, it makes better sense to go with my plan. I think everybody can identify with this. I can look back at times in my life where I told God, here's what I think needs to happen. Here's what I think you ought to do, God. And it didn't happen. And you know what I did? I stomped my foot like a three-year-old and told him he was a bad God. Anybody prayed that prayer? Dear God, you're not doing a very good job. Amen. Right? Because he wasn't giving me what I thought I wanted, what I needed. And I'll be honest, what I deserved. It's not fair. That should be mine. Now, I've lost count. How many times have I looked back? I've lost count of this prayer. Oh my gosh, what if God had said yes? I wouldn't have what I have now. I couldn't see it back then, right? So I wouldn't have this wife. I wouldn't have these kids. I wouldn't have these grandkids. I wouldn't have this. I'd have something else, but it probably wouldn't be as good as what God has in plan for me, right? So I want to throw out a new strategy for prayer that will eventually get to, God, I do have an ask today, but there are a couple steps that we need to get to before we get to what I would call my typical prayer life. It goes like this. Dear God, here's what I want you to do for me, you know, change for me, provide for me, and stop for me. In Jesus' name, amen. That's my typical prayer, right? So on your card, because everybody has a card, and if you don't have a card, get your phone out. You're gonna see four letters, all right? It's an acronym, ACTS, all right? Each letter is gonna stand for a word or a couple of words. I learned this when I was a little kid. I'm gonna expand it a little bit, but it's gonna serve as a map or a template for us to follow. This is a new discipline for some of us, which I hope will help us pray more intentionally and effectively, and maybe even more frequently. Because let me just tell you, we're not talking to Wilson the volleyball. We're not bouncing our ideas off the ceiling, right? And we're not voicing our truth to the universe. We're talking to the God who created the universe, and he's a big deal. All right, so we're gonna work through each letter, and then at all of our campuses, I've asked each worship team, I will work through this one letter, and then they're gonna lead us in a song that kind of exemplifies or gives language to this, what this letter represents. So I'll teach, we'll sing, teach, sing, teach, sing, sing. I'm not gonna sing. You're welcome. All right, but and then during that song, or right after that song, I want you to write down whatever lyric or what concept or description or attribute God connects with you, okay? So let's start with A, all right? We're gonna start with A. A stands for adoration, okay? That means, basically, this is what I love about God. I just love this about God. A, but I'm gonna expand that. A also is gonna stand for two other words, acknowledgement and alignment. Meaning this, hey, God, before I get into anything going on in my life, right, which we'll get to, I need to stop and acknowledge who you are and what you're like and what you've already done. I wanna align my thoughts with you. Like, what are you thinking, God? Because I wanna be on your page. Because I tell you, like, God isn't Santa Claus. God isn't a genie in a bottle standing by to give us our three wishes. God's not your errand boy. This is gonna pop your bubble. He doesn't work for you. Now let me, Jesus, Philippians 2 says he temporarily let go of his divine nature, took on the form of a servant, and he served us, all right? But Jesus did that for the glory of the almighty maker of heaven and earth. That's where it goes, all right? Years ago, I read a C.S. Lewis children's book, and he's a great theologian, but in this, it's a children's book, so there's this beaver, right? And Mr. Beaver asked if Aslan, and in all those books, Aslan represents, is a lion who represents Jesus, okay? So Mr. Beaver says, so is the lion, is Aslan safe? So the question is God safe? To which Mrs. Beaver says, safe? Who said anything about being safe? Of course he's not safe, but he's good. But he's good. See, worship, and that's what we're about to enter into, means I'm gonna assign worth to something. We're gonna talk about worship next week. I'm gonna assign value to something. So as we move into a time of worship, you're gonna hear some words and phrases that describe the God that we are approaching. And Hebrews chapter 4 says, this blows my mind. The creator of the universe says you can boldly walk right up to my throne and ask for anything you need. Grace in your time of need. Mercy in your time of need. He's your father and he's good. So we're gonna sing this, and there's not a lot of rules. Last night, people were like, should I stand, should I, what? Well, I don't care. If you feel like standing, stand up. If you feel like sitting, sit down. If you feel like kneeling, kneel. But whatever God wants to do in your life, then you just worship him, all right? Then I'll come back up, give you some time to write on your card, and then we'll move on to the next one, all right? Let's worship, here we go. So go ahead and write down a word or two on your card or on your phone. And can you imagine if you believe that? That he is a good, good father. Someone going, you don't know my dad. He's better than your dad. I think one of the reasons we are afraid to pray is we don't want to look up because we've rehearsed something in our mind that what we'll get back, and it's not good. It's disappointment or shame or really, it's condemnation. But all that died on the cross, y'all. He's a good, good father. He's just saying, I'm just waiting on you. That's where we're going to end in a few minutes. So write down whatever that is. Miracle, I need a miracle. That means it's not gonna happen, God, unless you get involved in my life. I need to keep your promise. I got a darkness. I need a light at the end of that tunnel. It doesn't feel like you're working. I don't see what you're doing, but I trust you. Write down an attribute of God that you need him to be this week, right? I went really long last, we're gonna just plow ahead. C, look at C, all right? C is gonna stand for confession. That's the word I was taught originally years ago, but I wanna expand it to more. Because when I think of confession, I think of my normal communion service when they hand out bread and juice, right? I bow my head and go, I'm so sorry, I screwed up again. I promise you, God, I will do better next week. Anybody pray that prayer every time you do, right? And it's like, that's not the point, all right? I wanna expand that. Confession also, and you might need to do it. Hey, God, I need to confess what I've done, right? But I've been doing a lot of work on my own heart over the last several years. I wanna add it, this is gonna be familiar to some of you, the C word I wanna use is check-in. I wanna check in with God, right? And here's what I mean by that. I'm coming to my good, good father. By the way, if I get choked up, it's not because Jim's a mess. We should pray for him, probably. But this is not hypothetical to me. He's been so faithful in what I'm teaching you today. And so I'm coming to my good, good father, and here's the prayer going, hey, God, here's where I am right now, and I'm not doing well. I'm not okay. I'm struggling, and I confess without you, I don't know if I can make it. Like the Lord's Prayer, I don't even have daily bread unless you show up today. I'm dependent upon you because this thing happened in my life. I don't know what to do. Anybody prayed that prayer this week? I don't know how to fix it. A few weeks ago, I was meeting with my counselor. I am a mess. You all need counseling, by the way. Just surrender to that, all right? And anyways, I was unpacking something in my life that is really painful, and I just looked at Harvard, and went, I don't know what else to do. And finally he said to me, okay, have you done all you know to do? I'm like, yeah, and more, right? So he said this, so you can't fix it, right? I'm like, no, and you can't control it. I'm like, I can try, and you can't rescue anybody involved from it. How's that make you feel, Jim? And I went, like I'm quitting? Like I'm just giving up? He goes, no. It's called acceptance, and that's not the same as giving up. It's acknowledging that there are things going on beyond your control, and that brought up another emotion. Well, then, God, I'm just checking in tired. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I'm sad. Here's where I'm checking in. I'm mourning that what I thought my life was going to be, my family was going to be, my friendships were going to be, it's not going to be like that, and I'm really sad. So I'm checking in sad, angry, scared, happy, excited, whatever that is. I'm bringing all my honest emotions to my good, good father, and I'm saying, hey, I'm laying how I'm feeling right now beside all those attributes in A. So that's what I want you to do in these next few minutes. How are you doing? I'm hopeful. I'm on the edge. I'm not tapping out, but I can see tapping out from where I am. I'm peaceful, even if I got a storm in my life. Just write down that word right now. I'm just checking in with you, God. Here's what's going on. I'm worried. I'm anxious. I'm just really, really tired. Just tell him, write down those words as they come up for you. That one gets me. They turn my mic off because you don't want to hear crying voice Jim sing. You don't want to hear Jim sing, but... So let's just look at that C. What do you need to tell God right now? Why am I so worried? Because I am. I feel like you're in a battle. I feel like you're in a desert. I feel like you're underwater. Are you or somebody in your life just really depressed? And it's just dark. And is there somebody in your life that you call, you don't know if they're going to be alive or dead because they're so addicted at any moment, right? I mean, in all our anxieties, our darkest thoughts, if I know one thing, I can testify to you today, is our God is a deliverer. Amen? And he will see us through. How many of us could say he saw me through something? Okay? How many of us are in something right now? He needs to stay close to us. Anybody? Yeah. So write down what you're feeling right now. I'm just really angry. This is not fair. I don't know what to do. I'm exhausted. I'm holding on. Okay? Let's go into T. Thanksgiving. T stands for Thanksgiving. So prayer's gonna be something like this. Hey, God, before I ask for anything, I need to stop and say thank you for what you've already done and what you're doing right now. See, usually when I'm in a crisis or in a really hard time, all I can see in my life is what I don't have or what I need to happen now or in the future. But whenever that happened in the past, like when David in the book of Psalms, you can read it, he's just freaking out about my enemies surround me and this is happening. I don't know if I'm gonna survive this, blah, 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 blah. And then you get to the last two verses of the chapter. He goes, but then I remember God. Like God looks back and goes, hey, time out, David, take a breath. This is my paraphrase. Take a breath. Remember what I did for you before and before that and before that and before that? Here's it's ridiculous to say out loud. Why do you think that this Tuesday is when God's gonna say, like, I'm done with you? Yeah, that one I don't know how to fix. Why do you think he's gonna bail on us now? And he's like, well, I don't know. I mean, he helped me through that first divorce, but I don't know if he's gonna help me through this one. He had that addiction, but I don't know if he's gonna help me with this one. He helped my kid with this, but I don't know if he's gonna help my daughter with this, right? Did you know, I just found this, by a guy named Michael Hendricks taught this to me years ago. This is good. Gratitude, it's not in the Bible, but it aligns with the Bible. Gratitude is the gateway emotion to joy. And here's what I mean by that. This is proven scientific brain chemistry, all right? This is what scientists have discovered. You cannot be angry and bitter and be grateful at the same time. Your brain can only process one or the other, and it will drive out the other one. I mean this, the way to drive out anger and bitterness and worry is to begin listing out all the good things that you're thankful for, and the way to drive out all the things you're thankful for is to concentrate on why you're angry and bitter and worried, right? So rather than going like, hey, here's what I don't have, before I get to that, God, and we will get to that, I want to thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, why I'm still alive, why I'm still making it. So this is a time of just saying, hey, God, in gratitude, I haven't forgotten what you've done. I'm counting on it in the future. So let him know that. So good. So good. So God, before I ask for something to change in the future, just thank you for what you've already done. Not for what I don't have. Here's what we do. Hey, this situation is broken and it absolutely eclipses this one that's actually going well. Right? I forgot about them. That's going well because this has hijacked my life. So before, thank you for this. Not what I want to happen, but again, for what you've already done. I would not be here without you, Lord, right? What would I have? All right, that was a good one there. Let's go to S, supplication. S, supplication, that's the Bible word for just ask God for what, to provide something that you really need. Again, there's nothing wrong asking God for what we believe that we need or want, right? I need to get involved in this, God, in this marriage, in this parenting, in this addiction. That's nothing wrong with that, right? But like we've already said, from our chair, it looks right, but we might be wrong. So there's always this kind of addition that we learn from Jesus, but not my will, but yours be done. If this is the best way, I trust you, right? Look at this. This is John writes this. He says, and this is the confidence that we have towards God, that if we ask anything, and then what's the next three words? Okay, it's not just anything, according to his will. Like, hey, as long as this lines up with you, he hears us, all right? We also have some other biblical coaching around the discipline of prayer, and this just kind of describes a lot of our week right here. Like this, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you this week, right? Is it not this, that your passions, like I'm really emotional about this, are at war within you? Anybody feel like that? You desire and you do not have, so you just murder, right? You covet, I mean, I want that, and you cannot get it, so you fight and quarrel with one another. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask, and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. Really, I don't even care what you want, God. This is about me. I'm passionate about it. I don't care if it's right or wrong. This is what I want. And then here's the last one. Be careful what you're asking for, because God may say yes to it, but the yes may not look like the yes that you we're looking for. I heard a quote from a Catholic priest this past week. Really, it wasn't a question toward him. They actually were mocking this priest about prayer because he prays all the time, but it doesn't really make a difference. And here's how he responded to that. This is so good. You might want to take a picture of it, but it says this: I ask God for strength. This is a priest talking. I ask God for strength. God gave me difficulties to make me stronger. I ask God for wisdom. That's a good prayer. God gave me tough problems to solve. I ask God for courage. God gave me dangers to overcome. I ask God for love. God gave me troubled people to help. So yeah, God did answer my prayer. It just didn't happen the way I thought it was. Listen, I don't know what church you came from, no church, some church, whatever. This is where you are. I'm not the Lord told me kind of guy. You don't hear me say that. And if you come up to me and go, the Lord told me to tell you this, Jim, I'll go thank you. And I'll walk away. That's not true, right? So because in the Bible, if you said the Lord told me and it wasn't true, then they killed you. So be careful, all right? But the Lord told me this the other day. I don't have any other explanation. I talked about this a few months ago. I was in the gym and I played this song, and it was the Only God Can Fix God-Sized Problems. Remember that? Here's what the Lord told me in that moment. Stop. I've got this. Stop getting in the way. Stop trying to control it. Stop trying to fix it. Stop trying to rescue, all right? Because Jim, honestly, I know your heart's right, but you're making it worse. And this, Lord, I don't want to listen to you right now. So just stop. Now, that doesn't mean give up on the problem or the situation. It means God is saying this: until I tell you to do something, just wait. And I'm not good at waiting. Like, God, you got till Tuesday, and then I'm gonna take over, right? Which goes against everything in me, which brings me to a huge aha moment. This is gonna hurt some of your feelings because it hurt mine. The aha moment was this: when I try to rescue someone or fix someone or control something, that's not about them, that's about me. I really like being a savior. I tell myself it's about the other person, but my need or desire to fix, control, or rescue is really about me. I have to prove something, and here's my aha moment that goes with that. And God is doing something in the other person that has nothing to do with me. But if I keep on sticking my nose in it, I'll make what God's trying to do in their life harder. So he said, Jim, just shut up and wait, in a loving way. So Go ahead and ask God for what you believe that you need going on in your life, but then commit to looking for how God answered the request in a way that you may not see, understand, even like, or expect, but he will answer because he's a promise keeper. So not my will, yours be done. I'm gonna rely on God's word because that's where I live. We learned last week, how about this, that the Holy Spirit will intercede for us when we don't even know what to pray. Have you ever been there? I don't know what to ask for. You ever laid on the couch in a ball just go groaning? I'm overwhelmed. I can't catch my breath. I don't even know what I need. I don't even know what I want to happen here. I'm afraid I'll make the wrong decision. So I'm asking God, I need you to get involved in this chaos. And even though I don't understand what you're doing or how this is going to help, I'm going to trust you more than I even trust my own emotions right now. So I'm asking you, God, to get involved in your life. You pick the area and invite him into it, okay? Grab a seat. Hey, let me wrap this up real quick. Let me give you two closing things, and then I'm going to pray, and then you have a template now to go. Like, I'm going to practice this week. So let me just tell you a couple caveats to this. All right, first of all, it's going to be awkward. It's kind of like a musician learning to play piano. I was talking to these guys earlier, and it's like when you start to learn a new instrument, you're like, I know I'm bad at this. It's called conscious incompetence. All right, and then if you practice really hard, consciously, you can be competent, but you have to think about it. But then you look at some of these people, and they're playing a song, and they're having a conversation over here. It's just running in the background. It's because prayer can become like that. I don't know. I've just been praying all day long. I didn't need the ACTS. I just talked to him all day long. So here's two things that can get in the way of that. The first one is this. You cannot ignore God all week long, put him on a shelf, and live in disobedience to him. And then when a car wreck or cancer hits your life, go, hey, where are you? And then expect intimacy. And probably if the car wreck, whatever, hits your life, let me just tell you this. His first thing is, okay, before I fix that, we need to work some stuff out. Because I can get involved in your marriage and your divorce, but unless your heart changes, there's another divorce or marriage coming, right? I need to change. We need to work out some stuff. So look at this. It's out of the book of James. It says this, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. He's not saying you have to be perfect. He's just saying, are you running after goodness? Are you running after me? And then a car wreck hit your life, and you're like, but you're right here in the passion seat with me, right? You're with me. So in his word, in obedience, you have to combine those two things. You're not going to do it perfectly, but which direction are you running this week? And then when you make a mistake or somebody makes a mistake and it falls on you, he's right there. That's the other thing. And then we'll get out of here. I forgot to wear a watch, so sorry. You cannot talk to God long distance. It just doesn't work. So Sarah's gonna love this one right here. Okay, so I had my first horse training lesson this past week, okay? I'm a horseman, I'm a cowboy. Anyway, so my neighbor trains rescued Mustangs, and so I had this horse that had been rescued, and I have him running in circles, and he has one ear towards me, he's just checking me out because everybody in his life has abused him. And I'm just right there in the middle, just following him. And he can sense, I didn't believe this until I saw it, he can sense what I feel about him. If I'm nervous, he's nervous. If I'm scared, he's scared. If I'm angry, he's angry. And he's just checking me out. And then I stopped and I just waited on him. And he just stared at me for a while. And then he walked up and put his head right here and starts, as if it's spiritual. Don't write me New Age letters. You're fine. We're the horse. And I don't know what God thinks of me. And then you find out that he's just full of love. He doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to discipline you. He doesn't want to, you know, make you pay for things. All that happened on the cross. It's already done. Everything you've done wrong, it's already paid for. The punishment's already been dealt out. And he just says, come here. Just run to your father. The book of Acts says this, is that when you reach out to look for God, you'll find that he's right there. So just run to him this week going, okay, we haven't talked in decades or hours or days. He'll be right there. And you just pray. Hey, thank you for loving me. I that's what I really love about you. You love me. And I can give you all the reasons why not to. And I confess, I need you. All of our campuses, let's just stand up. Let's just close with that prayer. And then if you want to stay here, there's prayer teams in the front of all of our auditoriums. And then if you want to sit there for a while, I don't know what time it is. The next service will start. Whenever you get out of the way, so it's fine. So let's just close with that, and then you're dismissed as soon as I say amen. So God, we love you. You're so good. You're a good, good father. You don't put us in a headlock and say, listen to me. You just wait patiently for us to look your direction, and then we're not greeted with wrath and punishment. You're just waiting for us. So we make room for you. We confess we need you. We're going through some stuff right now that if you don't get involved in it, God, it's just too much. And so without you, we have nothing. With you, all things are possible. And I'm so thankful for that. More so, I'm thankful for Jesus, because all this is a moot point if Jesus didn't take care of my biggest problem. But now that that's out of the way, you just want to get involved in my life so I can become the kind of person that reminds you of you. That's what I want. And so we need you. There's a part of our life right now, it just seems insurmountable. But we trust you. Help us to pay attention to what you're gonna do. We invite you into that part of our life. God, I look so forward to the conversations that these rooms are gonna represent with you. Maybe for the first time, maybe it's the first time in a long time, or maybe it just gets deeper, because we really do believe, finally, that you're a good, good father and that you love us. All made possible by your son, Jesus. In his name I pray, amen. Amen? Amen. Thanks. Love you.
Hey everyone, thanks again for joining us here at Flatirons Church Online. If you didn't know, we stream every weekend and we're dropping content throughout the week, and so be sure to subscribe to our channels. Now, if you want to support Flatirons and its ministry here, reaching people in a lost and broken world, we'd love for you to hit that Give Now button. Thanks again for being here, and we can't wait to see you either online or in person next week.